more of Like Effect, I'm Mitch Teich. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee has many treasures on its campus, but perhaps one of the lesser known is the collection of fine art held by the Art History Department. The department has a gallery in Mitchell Hall that holds regular exhibits, and students are free to work with the prints and paintings to advance their studies. Among the holdings is a significant number of original prints by the Russian-Jewish artist Marc Chagall, and it was those works that intrigued master's student Cassie Sackett. Her thesis project, called The Morals of Marc Chagall, is hanging now in the department's gallery and comprises of almost three dozen original etchings and lithographs. Sackett recently met Bonnie North at the gallery and explained why she chose this artist.
Well, I knew I wanted to work with Marc Chagall, and as an undergraduate, I worked with the Dead Souls Suite, and so I was very familiar with that, but I wanted to expand it as my thesis exhibition and really look further, and I was looking at our collection here at UWM and came up with the idea that each of these texts that I'm dealing with deals with morals quite heavily, so I wanted to see how Chagall dealt with those morals, how he understood them and wanted to interpret them.
Which morals are we talking about specifically?
Good morals versus bad morals. He's not very interested in trying to dictate an acceptable moral code to his audience. He's not interested in moralizing his audience, but he's very interested in portraying human nature at its core, which obviously involves a lot of morality, whether it be good or bad.
Where did all of these wonderful prints come from?
Every print in this exhibit comes from the UWM art collection. They have had donations throughout the years, and there have been a few different donors who have donated this work, and it's been really amazing having it available to work with, to be able to view and study right on hand.
And these are originals, right? We're not talking about prints of prints.
They are originals. They are prints, but they are original prints. They have signatures, some of them. We have the entire book of the story of the Exodus with the text and everything. It's a really great piece. We even have more than I included in the exhibit. I tried to narrow it to the morals, the idea of the morals, but we do have at least one more illustrative text suite.
So let's look at some of the pieces. We start with black and white. So what is the first piece you chose and why?
The first piece that I chose is from the Dead Souls suite. The Dead Souls was the first of the three suites that he created. In this exhibition, we have the Dead Souls, the Fables of La Fontaine, and the Story of the Exodus. So Dead Souls was created in the early 1920s. And yes, they are all black and white etchings. And the first image is Farewell to Manilov from Chichikov. And it is actually the two men making a deal to purchase dead serfs or souls. The main character has this scheme, and everyone in the Dead Souls suites is very immoral.
And they're all scheming.
They're all scheming, yeah. And they're all giving in to Chichikov's plot because they can get something out of it as well. They don't necessarily always know that they're acting immorally, but they know that they're not doing the right thing as well. So this is after the first deal has been made. The men are shaking hands in agreement of the deal, and Chichikov is on the right and basically elated. He's jumping up in the air, basically, because he's so happy that he's successfully made his first deal. But Manilov, on the other hand, is very confused. He doesn't understand what the implications of selling dead souls will do. And so his head is very small, and that reflects his confusion.
Yeah, he looks as if he's almost shrinking.
Yes, and I think all of the settings in Dead Souls are supposed to be very chaotic, and the perspective is upturned, and it's supposed to make you feel anxious. And I think this piece, again, does that incredibly well.
Yeah, it's actually, when you look at it, it's kind of tilted.
Exactly.
You know, nothing seems to be on a level playing ground.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as we move through these etchings, this is all on this wall from
yes.
the same collection?
Yep, I used the walls to separate out the suites.
The first one is very, simple lines, mm-hmm. and we start to get more and more coloration as we go through a lot more detail, even mm-hmm. though it's still black and white.
Right.
Was that something that he was exploring artistically as well, or is it showing up because that's how you set it up?
I think that he does a very good job of keeping minimal lines throughout, but he does play very well with heavy images and very light images. I guess most of these ended up being heavy images because I was trying to tell the audience something specific with these images and just trying to highlight the immoral character of these people.
I love, you know, the fact that they're etchings, yet it almost looks like he's hand-painted them with ink. And, of course, it's just part of his mastery.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In the Fables of La Fontaine, they are also etchings, but they are actually hand-colored. So Chagall went through and hand-colored each of them. And he did this because originally these pieces were made with gouache, which is a type of water-based paint. So they are very colorful, and they are all originals. And then he created the etchings based off of those gouaches. And they wanted to make them colored etchings, but unfortunately the color just wouldn't translate over to the medium, and they ended up having to do black and white etchings, and then 85 of the suites got hand color.
And it's just actually the layering is quite beautiful. I'm looking at the one of the two women, and you know, you get the suggestion of the colors of their dresses.
Exactly. He really was very successful in trying to recreate this building up of paint in his etchings. And they do have a very different visual quality than the Dead Souls prints.
They do, very much. And is this later? Was he doing this at a later time?
This was actually done immediately after the Dead Souls were finished. So the Fables of La Fontaine started in 1927, and that's the same year that the Dead Souls prints were completed.
Was he moving away from or moving toward a different kind of expression at this point, or is this a transitional phase for him artistically?
Very much a transitional phase. With the Dead Souls suite, he really created it because he had a negative experience in Russia with the Russian Revolution. He became a commissar of arts, and within 2 years of having that position, he was ultimately exiled from Russia forever. And Russia is his homeland, and he's very, very much dedicated to the iconography of Russia throughout his career, even though after 1920, he never returns. So the Fables of La Fontaine were created while he was in France, and France became his new homeland, and he really stayed there for as long as he could. He stayed there for the rest of his life, except for during World War II, in which case he was in America for a few short years.
Yeah, and I would think that everything that happened with the Russian Revolution would have influenced that idea of morality as well.
Exactly. It is very much the prompting of him creating this Dead Souls suite is the Russian Revolution and his negative experience. He was really wanted to portray how he believed Russia was acting in that moment.
So as we look at the Fables of La Fontaine, where this is all on one wall, for the first time, I think, I'm looking back, there are some animals in the first collection in the Dead Souls, but now we actually have one etching here that is nothing but animals.
Yes, the Fables of La Fontaine, like Aesop's Fables, are largely based in animal fairy tales. So they are mischievous animals who speak to each other and usually have some sort of tricky behavior going on.
Representing humans, of course.
Exactly, always representing humans. There are a few of the stories that have humans as well, but most of them are animal-based.
Okay, so now we move to the third and final wall of the exhibition, which is the story of Exodus, of the Exodus. And this is familiar to pretty much anyone who's of a Judeo-Christian background. Okay. And so what was he trying to do here? And these are all color. Every one of these prints is in full color.
Mm-hmm. These prints are not etchings. They are lithographs, and that's why they get to be all color. And Chagall was really trying to maintain a universal message in his depiction of biblical themes, and many of his biblical themes, not just the story of the Exodus. And he really does maintain a universalist message of the moral stature of the characters in the text. And he does this through the use of an emotionally rich humanity. So in this first image of Moses looks upon the toiling Israelites, Moses has his hands on his heart and his face is sort of squinched in this very compassionate, caring expression. And he feels that way because he's looking upon the Israelites, who are his family, basically, and they are toiling under the enslavement of the Egyptians.
Yeah, you see there's a little pyramid up exactly. in that corner, and they're carrying heavy burdens.
Yes, yeah. And I basically interpret it as they are literally carrying their burden of slavery on their back.
And then we move to
a lesser known part of the story, which is after the parting of the Red Sea, after the Israelites escape. They're in the desert and searching for their promised homeland. And in celebration of their escape, Miriam, who is, I believe, the sister of Aaron, dances in celebration with timbrels, or what I would think we would call tambourines nowadays. And they are joyously dancing in celebration of God and of Moses' miraculous parting of the sea. And this image actually is very key to my argument in the story of the Exodus, because while Chagall maintained a universalist message of the moral character of the people in the text, he also very much used a lot of Jewish iconography and ideas and themes to enhance his images. So in my research of the story of the Exodus, I found out that in Jewish culture, a lot of celebrations and religious holidays are celebrated with dance, with celebratory dance, and that's specific to the Hasidic that Chagall grew up with. In portraying this celebratory dance, Chagall is probably envisioning the rituals that he saw as a child and recreating them in this ancient scene.
Was he religious in his later life?
He was not religious. He did not practice Judaism at all in any form, but he was very, very aware of his Jewish identity. He never shied away from trying to promote Judaism. He was very much an advocate of having a Jewish museum for artists and that sort of thing, and very much uses Judaism in his own personal iconography.
So we get to the end of the last few prints here, and what I find interesting is you ended with continuing Exodus.
Yes, this is actually the last image of the suite. So this is also what Chagall ended with. It shows the continuing Exodus, so obviously they have not reached their promised homeland yet, but they will eventually. Chagall depicts both modern and biblical Jews. And in doing this, he's trying to parallel the story of the Exodus with the modern story that he witnessed of the founding of Israel in 1948.
So this was done when? When was this?
1966.
So quite late in his career.
Right.
So as far as Chagall was concerned, the Exodus continued.
The Exodus did continue, and Chagall was very much a proponent of Zionism and the founding of Israel. And I believe that the whole suite of the story of the Exodus should really be seen as a statement of support for Israel from Chagall. And I believe that he sees the story as a modern interpretation of the founding of Israel.
So what do you hope that people who come to look at this exhibit take away from it?
I hope that they take away that, like I said earlier, Chagall is really interested in portraying human nature at its core. He's really interested in trying to get at the emotionality of people and how that might affect them. And like I said earlier, too, he's not trying to dictate an acceptable moral code. He's not trying to moralize his audience or tell people that they're not leading the correct life, but he's just trying to portray human nature.
Well, they are certainly beautiful, beautiful prints, and I'm sure most of us have never seen other than maybe in books. And I want to thank you so much for putting it together, of course, but for talking with me this morning, Cassie. I appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
Cassie Sackett is a master's student in art history at UWM. Her thesis project is called The Morals of Marc Chagall, and the exhibition of Chagall's etchings and lithographs is on display at the UWM Art History Gallery through December 12th. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday. You can find more information about the hours, the UWM Art History Department, and its collection from links at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Sackett spoke with Bonnie North on site at the gallery. That's Tuesday's edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. Tomorrow on the show, another rapid advance in genome science is playing out in Milwaukee, plus what's behind the trend towards smaller restaurant portions. Great to have you with us today, as always, and I sure hope you'll listen again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Fresh air is next. Keep listening. It's 11 o'clock.